familiar with the scriptures, if you're not already. And I'm just trying to do all of that kind of stuff in one sermon, or each Sunday morning. So this morning, we're going to take Acts chapter number 2. We'll probably go down through about verse number 13. About through verse number 13, probably as far as we'll get. And I want to especially talk to you where it says there in verse number 3. It says, verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to talk to you especially about that, but there'll be a lot of other things. I hope you have a Bible. I hope I can teach you some things as we go along here. So let me pray. Father, we pray to you to help us this morning. Father, I pray to stir the hearts of your people, dear God. Please, Father, don't leave us the same way we came in. God, we pray that you'd come and intervene in our life. God, we pray that you'd use the word of God, Father, to speak to the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that you'd help me to preach this morning. And I pray that you'd bless your people, God. And God, open our eyes, give us understanding about the things of God here. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So there we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me read four verses there for you in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, they were all with one accord. If you weren't here, we talked in chapter number 1 about what would be the first church. There's 120 people, and they were gathered together in an upper room. And they had been taught by Jesus Christ for 40 days, and now they're waiting for the day of Pentecost to come. So it says in verse number 2, this is on the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place, all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It was just an appearance, and it sat upon each of them. That would be those people that were gathered together there in the upper room. In verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's some things here that I want you to learn today. And I'm going to take it like this. I'm going to have 3 points, and my first point is this. What does it mean there when it says they were all baptized, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost? The phrase, baptized with the Holy Ghost, is used back over in verse number chapter 1 and verse number 5. I want to talk to you about what that means. And then number 2, what does it mean where it says they began to speak with other tongues? What is that? And then number 3, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What is that? Is all that stuff for me? Is that things that I'm supposed to be doing? You know, there's a lot of people do that. A lot of people, they claim that they speak with tongues. Is that a good thing? Is that what you're supposed to be doing? What does that mean? What is that? What is that speaking with tongues? It's not anything hard. It's not anything complicated. So just let me give you an introduction here and talk to you for, I'll try not to be too long, and I want to try to make it applicable to us today, something that will help us and do us a little bit of good. So we read in chapter number 1. If you weren't here, you missed out. We read in chapter number 1 that the apostles and others, they were all together. There was about 120 people there, which made up the church at that time. See, at this time that we're reading about here in the Bible, there's only one church, and that's a church at Jerusalem. And the disciples make it up, along with some women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there, and some other people. That's the last time Mary, the mother of Jesus, is mentioned there. There's only one church in existence. Other churches spring up later on in the book of Acts. They're all together there in one place, in a place called the upper room. An upper room. I don't know. I guess it'd be like up in a balcony or something like that. But that's where they are. And the Bible says they're there and they're waiting for something because God told them to wait. Told them something's going to come, something's going to happen to you. And so I want you to wait. He says in, if you look in chapter 1 in verse number 4 of the book of Acts, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So they have been told by the Lord Jesus Christ to wait. He said also the same thing or something similar to that in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, before he ascended up to heaven, Jesus said this, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, you might be here and you may not know anything about what the Bible says about power, or the Bible says about being filled with the Spirit. You might say, well, what has that got to do with me? I'm not interested in that. I hope you are. It's for everybody. So they're waiting. They're waiting for a day to come, the day of Pentecost. They're waiting for that to come. That's what the Lord Jesus told them. The day of Pentecost, he's told them the promise of the Father. That's when the Spirit of God is going to come down, and he's going to come down and indwell every single saved person. If you don't know this, if you're here today and you're saved and you don't know this, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God indwells your body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm thinking it's verse number 19, it says, What? Know ye not? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, which is in you, and you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Even if you don't know it, the Spirit of God does indwell every single Christian, saved person. A Christian. Well, what is a Christian? You know, the name is tossed around a lot today. A lot of people, Christians of some kind, but just specifically, what is a Christian? A Christian is, let's just go like this, a Christian is a saved person. A Christian is someone who has believed in Jesus Christ. They have accepted Him as their Savior. They believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection. Let me ask you that. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe in that Jesus died for your sins and that He was buried and that He was raised again from the dead, that He's alive? If you believe that, then have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? I'm not talking about how good you are. I'm not talking about where you're baptized. I'm not talking about any of that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, in a person? Have you trusted in Him? Have you made Him your only hope for heaven, you see? That's what a Christian is. A Christian is, they become a follower of Jesus Christ. They're not trusting in Mohammed. They're not trusting in Buddha. They're not trusting in their church. They're not trusting in their sacraments. They're not trusting in any of that. They're trusting in a person and what He did for them on the cross. About 48 and a half years ago, I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas. I believed in God. I believed that there was a God. I thought the Bible was probably true. I didn't know anything about it. But I knew something that I had heard several times, that Jesus Christ was God's Son and He died for our sins. I knew that. A man came to my house. He came to my door on a Sunday afternoon in the month of June in 1970 because my wife had gone to church by herself to the Tabernacle Baptist Church on 34th Street in Lubbock, Texas. And they came, and this old preacher by the name of Brother Mayfield, T.H. Mayfield, sat down, I sat down, and I don't remember if he sat or not, but he told me some things about Jesus Christ. And I prayed in my heart, to God silently, and I said, God, don't let this man leave now, because I want him to, if he'll ask me if I want to be saved, I do want to be saved. I'll say yes. And thank God he did. He had enough courage to ask me, would you like to accept this Jesus as your Savior? And I said yes. And I got saved. You know what, folks? I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything good. I didn't do a bunch of religious activities. No. I just said yes. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And that's all you have to do. You have to believe the gospel and you have to trust in a person, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And then the Bible says God gives you eternal life. It is a free gift. And when you do, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. He comes and He takes it. Your body becomes His house. And he's never going to leave you. He will never leave you until the Bible says the day of redemption. You might say, well, oh, I have done bad things. I've done terrible things. He's not going to leave you. He will not leave you for any reason. If you are saved, I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you kill somebody. That's terrible. You will have to pay for it. I don't care what you've done. But if you were saved, then you're still saved. If you have children and your children have done things wrong against you, they've disobeyed you, are they still your children or are they not your children? Of course they are. You can't get rid of them, you see. They were born to you in a fleshly manner. When you got saved, you're born of God. You're born a spiritual birth from up above, from heaven. Jesus said you must be born again from above because that one fleshly birth that you have, that will not get you to heaven. That'll get you into the earth here, and it'll soon get you in the grave, but it won't get you to heaven. So therefore, you must have a second birth. And that's what it is. That's what happens when you say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I cannot trust in my own goodness. I have no righteousness of my own. I'm trusting in what Jesus did for me on the cross, and you're saved. You are saved for sure, for free, and forever. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's all bought and paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ, and it's yours forever. These people, there's 120 of them, they're in the upper room and they're waiting for something to happen. And there are several things that happen on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was a Jewish feast. It is recorded in Leviticus chapter 23. You don't need to turn there, but that's where it's at. Verse 15 to 21, it was a Jewish feast. It occurred 50 days after the last feast, which was the Feast of First Fruits. Now I want to try to explain to you what some of these things mean here. First off, I told you, what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? Look in your Bible to verse number 4 of chapter number 1. Chapter number 1 and verse number 4. No, I'm sorry. I'm not quite blind yet, but sometimes I think I am. Chapter 1 and verse number 5. Chapter 1 and verse number 5. All right, hope you all don't mind. I'm gonna pull my jacket off here and see if I can get this across to you. Chapter 1 and verse number 5. And John, let's back up and read verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, that'd be Jesus, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. All right, the promise of the Father, that's what they're waiting for here on the day of Pentecost. They're waiting for the promise of the Father. He promised them some things. Now look at the next verse, verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water. Now look at this. John truly baptized with water. That's one baptism. John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's two baptisms. Number one is with water. Number two is with the Holy Ghost. Now see, you hear all kinds of things about this. You'll hear people say, oh, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost and all that kind of stuff. That's not even in the Bible. Jesus said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It is not right to say it any other way. Now that phrase, with, baptized with the Holy Ghost, is found six times in the Bible. Six times in the Bible. I want to show you those six times. Five of those things point forward to the day of Pentecost. One of them points backward to another place in the Bible. What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? Turn in your Bibles, hold your place there to Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11, here's John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11, he says this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. All right, that's John the Baptist's baptism, baptizing unto repentance. But he that cometh after you, after me, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. There are three baptisms in that verse. Number one, baptism with water, John said. Number two, baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's two. Number three is fire. Don't worry about the fire. That's talking about hell. Baptizing or being immersed in the lake of fire. You don't have to worry about that right now. So therefore, he's talking about, he said that when Jesus comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's one. Now turn on over to the next book in the Bible, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 8. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 8. Oh, I hope I can get this in. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 8. And he says it again, and here's what it says. John the Baptist again. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. See, there it is again. That's number 2. Turn in your Bible to the next book, Luke chapter 3 and verse number 16. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 16. Luke 3:16, John answered, saying unto them, all I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's number 3. One more. Turn to the next book in the Bible, to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1 and verse number 33. John chapter 1 and verse number 33. All right, in John chapter 1 and verse number 33 is John the Baptist again. He said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. That's four times it says it just alike. You'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now going back over to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Acts 1 and verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that four times? He says four times just alike, and it's all pointing to one day, to the day of Pentecost. Y'all see that? So that's what's going to happen on the day of Pentecost. They're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to happen. That's five times. Let's go to the last time. Go to the last time. Turn on over to in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. And Acts chapter number 10. And I'll tell you the verse here in just a second. Go to verse number 38. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 38. Let me read a little bit for you here. Acts chapter number 10. This is at Cornelius's house. Cornelius is a Gentile, but he wanted to be saved. And so God sent Peter to his house to tell him how to be saved. See, an angel couldn't tell him how to be saved. It had to be a man. It had to be a person to come and talk to him. Verse number 38, here Peter is preaching. And he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He's talking about Jesus. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to him who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Verse number 42. Now pay attention, because something's going to happen here in just a minute. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. Verse 42, Peter's preaching along. He says, and to him give all the prophets witness. Look at it. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him. That's what I told you a while ago. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Peter's preaching along. He says that about Jesus. He said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now look what happened in the next verse. Verse number 44. And while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Peter's just preaching along. He doesn't give an invitation. He doesn't say, raise your hands. He doesn't say any except he's just preaching. He said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And those people heard that, and right there in their seat, they believed. They believed and they got saved. Let's read the rest of it. While Peter, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all that. Man, I'd love to have seen that. The Holy Ghost, they're in a house. They're in Cornelius' house. They're in Cornelius' house, and Peter's come to preach to them. I mean, it's probably a fairly good gathering there. And Peter preaches that to them, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And they believed it right there. Look at the next verse, verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, that's on these people here that Peter's preaching to, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? See, they heard the word. They heard the word. They got saved. They received the Holy Ghost. They haven't been baptized in water yet. But he said, is there anybody here that would forbid these people from being baptized now since they have received the Holy Ghost? You see, is everybody getting this? Am I making a little bit of sense to you? Verse number 48, and he commanded them to be baptized. Well, he's talking about water here. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Those four places, those five places that I showed you where it said baptized with the Holy Ghost, they're all pointing to the day of Pentecost, and that's what happened. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I'll explain to you in a minute what that is. But then later on, Peter preaches to these people over here, and they also get the Holy Ghost. Now let's go a little further in the Bible here. Go on to chapter number 11 in the book of Acts. And Peter is preaching, telling some Jews in Jerusalem about what has happened to them. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 11. And the apostles' brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying. So Peter's going to tell these people in Jerusalem what happened there at Cornelius' house. Skip down a little bit to verse number 12. It's Peter's preaching, telling the people what happened. And the Spirit bade me go with them, that is, to Cornelius' house, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, that's Cornelius' house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. See, Cornelius was a good man, and he believed in God, but he wasn't saved yet. He needed Peter to come and preach to him how to be saved. That's what Peter did, and now then he's recounting it. And verse number 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. That's what we read up there in verse number 44 of chapter 10. Look at verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You say, what in the world does all that mean? You got two times here. You got the day of Pentecost, where it says they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Five scriptures pointed to that day. But then you got over here in Acts chapter number 10 and verse 44, where Peter preached to a bunch of Gentiles. He preached, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them. They all believed, and they got saved, and they got baptized. Peter begins to tell them about it over here in Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 16, 17, 18. And when he says that, he says they were baptized too, right here. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. Do y'all see that? They were baptized, Jews were baptized with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but Gentiles were baptized with the Holy Ghost when Peter preached to them. Do y'all see that? Amen. You see that? Two times they're baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Jews on the day of Pentecost and the Gentiles at Cornelius' house when Peter preached to them. Here's what happened there. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and God put them all in a body, the body of Christ. As best I can figure out, he formed the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost and he added the Jews to it on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. A little bit later, Peter went and preached to these Gentiles and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then they were added to that same body. So now you have one body with Jews and Gentiles in it. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. That phrase is not used again in the Bible. It's used six times. It's talking about when he forms the body of Christ and they were added to it. Now, when you get saved, God adds you to the body of Christ, but it's not called a baptism with the Holy Ghost. It just says you're baptized into the body of Christ. Let me show you those verses. You see, on the day of Pentecost, God formed the body of Christ. He put Jews in it. Later on, the Gentiles are added to it at Cornelius' house. And that phrase, the body of Christ, is not used anymore. But here's what happens to you. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. See, after the day of Pentecost, this is what happens. This is what happens to you. What I'm going to show you right here. This is what happens to you. You don't get, you can call it that, but you don't get baptized with the Holy Ghost. You can call it that if you want to. The Bible doesn't call it that. Look in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue at sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse number 3. Here's what happens to you. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. When you get saved, that's not water baptism there, that's spiritual baptism. When you get baptized, you are baptized spiritually into the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. It's a spiritual baptism. Turn on a little bit further. The next book in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Whew. I'm not going to make it. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ has a body, spiritual body. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, capital S, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. See, that's what I've just been talking to you about. The Jews on the day of Pentecost, the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, we're added, baptized into that one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free and have been made, all made to drink. That's a spiritual drinking. Into one spirit. One more place. Go to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3 and look at verse number 26. Galatians 3:26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now let's stop for a second. You say that he's got the word baptized there. How do you know if it's spiritual baptism or water baptism? Well, he says being baptized into Christ, doesn't he? Is Jesus Christ here? Can you see him? Well, it can't be a literal physical water baptism then, see. Jesus Christ is not here except by his Spirit. It's a spiritual baptism. You see that? You've been baptized. When you see it's baptized into Christ, then you know it's not baptized into the water tank. Verse number 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, that's in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. See, that's a spiritual thing, all right? So that's what it means. See, that took me all that time to explain to you what the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So here's what you have. You have people saying, well, I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost. No, they didn't. They don't know what they're talking about. That phrase is not even found in the Bible. Well, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, you didn't. God added some people to a body on the day of Pentecost, and then he added some Gentiles to the same body over in Cornelius' house, and that's called being baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that's it. That's it. From then on, when you get saved, you're added to the body of Christ by a spiritual baptism. Now, he puts a differentiation between being baptized with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. He makes a little difference there. You can use the same phrases if you want to. I couldn't care. I don't care. I don't have time to preach to you the second point that I wanted to preach to you, but let me just go on to the third point because I want you to get this because it's important, and I probably won't get it all. My second point was this about the tongues. I'll preach to you about the tongues a little later on. The tongues. The tongues are nothing more than languages, folks. Don't think it's any kind of something mysterious. It's just languages that they heard themselves. They heard Peter preach in their own languages, in their own language. In your Bible, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I will talk to you about the tongues later. But I want to talk to you for a minute about being filled with the Spirit, just briefly. As to be controlled by the Spirit of God. People can be filled with the Spirit, or you can be filled with other things. What are you filled with? People can be filled with wrath in the Bible. They can be filled with fear. They can be filled with madness. They can be filled with sorrow. They can be filled with indignation. They can be filled with envy. They can be filled with unrighteousness. In Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 3, there's two Christians, Ananias and Sapphira. And they lied to God, and God knew about it, and he told Peter. And Peter came along and he said this to them, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You know what happened? Both of them fell down dead. Both of them, they fell down dead, and they wrapped them up, took them out, and buried them. You see, people can be filled with different kinds of things. But if you are filled with the Spirit, I told you a while ago, the Spirit comes and he indwells your body. But here's the thing, that person that indwells your body, that Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God who indwells your body if you are saved, is he controlling your life or is he just there? Have you pushed him back by sin? Is he quiet? Is he not saying anything to you because of other things that you are so interested in? You see, when you're interested in more things, like today, everybody's so excited about the Super Bowl, you see. And there'll be probably millions of Christians stay home from church, from church when they ought to be in church because of some silly, foolish thing like that, you see. But are you filled with the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit or are you led by the flesh? The flesh. It's one or the other. You're either led by the Spirit of God or you're led by your flesh. And your flesh will get you in trouble every time. Let me give you this point. Number one, you can be filled again and again and again. The Bible says again and again. If these same disciples over in chapter 4 and verse number 31, they were filled with the Spirit again. Because when you minister to people and you talk to people and time passes, then you need to be refilled with the Spirit of God, you see. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not just a one-time thing. Samson, the Bible says about Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, more than any other person in the Bible. And by the way, Samson had a problem. He had a problem with women. But the Bible says about him more than anybody else, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he's the most powerful man physically in the Bible. But he was a man spiritually. But his problem was this. Listen carefully. He would not repent of his sins. Therefore, God eventually, the Spirit of God left him. That's Old Testament. The Spirit of God eventually left him, and he lost his power. He lost his eyesight. He lost his freedom. You're not going to lose the Spirit of God, but you can lose everything else. Do you know that? You're not going to lose the Holy Spirit of God if you're saved, but you can lose everything else. You can lose your freedom. You can lose your finances. You can lose all kinds of other things. You can lose your family. You can lose everything. You can lose your health. You can lose everything, you see, but you can't lose your soul if you're saved. Being filled with the Spirit, you must confess your sins. You must seek the Spirit of God. You have to do that. You must value His presence with you, you see. Number two, you can be filled again and again. Number two, you can have the fruit of the Spirit. You can have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, do you have the fruit of the Spirit of God? Is He working in your life to produce fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Nine fruits of the Spirit. Let me ask you something. Is God producing those fruits in you? Or are you so filled with other things that God cannot produce anything in you? What is it? What is it? Are you led by the Spirit of God, or are you led by the flesh? If you're led by the flesh, then the devil is leading you around. There are works of the flesh talked about in the Bible. If you're led by the flesh, here's what you can do. Galatians chapter 5, about verse number 17, 18, 19, somewhere along there, it says this. Now the works of the flesh are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation. It goes on and on all the way down to drunkenness. You say, oh no, a Christian can't do that. Yes, he can. Yes, he can if you're led by the flesh. You see, you can do those things. You can do those things. Last point is this. You can be led by the Spirit. A few wonderful times in my life, I have been led by the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I have had the privilege a few times in my life to be led across the path of the right person. A lot of times I haven't, but a lot of times I have. I was led across the path of this person that was looking for something, that was looking for someone to talk to them, to speak to them. And I was able to talk to them and lead them to the Lord more than one time, you see. To be led by the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God leads you. You can be led by the Spirit. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, you see. Yes, you can be led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God will lead us to heaven. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. It's eternal security. Those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He can lead us into all truth. He can teach us the Scriptures. John 16, 13, He is called there the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. I pray, God, help me, Father, that I will not teach anybody any false doctrine. You see, but here's the thing, folks, if you just get this. Today, right now, as you sit here, I don't know your condition. I don't know if you've confessed your sins, but most people think they're okay. They don't make a trip to the altar. They don't kneel down at home. They don't spend any time with God. They don't do any of those things. They evidently think that they're okay because God has given them the ability to just, you know, do things. And so therefore they have this idea that they don't need God. They don't need God. You need to confess your sins. You need to look at yourself. You need to look in your heart. You need to check yourself out. Am I right with God? Am I totally right with God? Is there covetousness in my heart? Is there rebellion in my heart? Is all any of that kind of stuff in my heart, you see? Am I being led by the Spirit of God, or am I being led by the flesh and by the devil, you see? That is a dangerous thing. But you can be led by the Spirit. The Bible says there are those people, the Spirit of God came down, and those people in that room, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they began to speak the Word of God. There were 12 of them that spoke with tongues. They spoke in other languages, and people heard them. 3,000 people were saved and baptized there.